Hello.
Hello, Michael.
Yes, it's me.
Yeah, this is Batman.
Yep.
Okay,
Okay.
sorry about that. Where were we?
No problem. Well, it's funny, I guess, because of my varied experience with all of this, there's a place that I've not been able to cross, and I'm trying to get to that place. Where I am is convoluted as relationship to where you are, and I'm seeking the knowledge and the wisdom to get to the place where I'm able, I guess, to carry on in the manner that I think we've been created at. But it's almost as if I have this whole position superimposed on my being, and I'm being forced against what I would call my will, which really ends up to be my knowledge, to have to so-called not answer for something I've answered to for most of my life. And then in doing so, the appearances are that I am either not telling the truth, I'm crazy, or am struggling out of that, that what I call that bag of tricks. And I'm trying to be honorable, and I do comprehend and understand the fact that the name given to me at birth and then you that I've utilized is not me. It's actually, I believe it's a trust, but either way, it's not who I am.
You mind? I'm going to add a friend of mine to the call. He might help you understand this better too. Boris. I don't know if you heard of him.
Yeah, I thought I heard Boris in the last in one of the conversations. He was very strong, and I appreciate that.
You care if I add him up?
So I will.
I'm going to add him.
That would be great.
Okay, hold on.
Okay.
You got to separate the name from what you're called. The name is just a tool for you to use in the world. But if you claim ownership of it, like I was saying before, you become of the world instead of just living, using the world. You see?
Hey,
But
what's
hey,
going on,
Boris.
guys? Yeah.
Yeah, this is Michael, right? And Boris,
Yes, it is.
welcome.
Hey, what's going on, man?
He has some. I figured maybe
Hello,
you could tell him how you dealt with your situation. I don't know if he's heard it already or not, but he has some problems with, I guess, the IRS, and trying to help him here get his mind wrapped around the way we look and deal with things.
Oh yeah. Let's see. I went the paperwork route with my case. It was going for like 5 or 6 years, and I finally met up with Batman and went in there one day and just said, for the record, I'm here for that matter under threat and arrest to correct a mistake, as I've never been properly noticed, and I'm here to deal with the matter honorably. They asked me what my name was. I said, you can call me Friend. At that point, man, everything went nuts for them. The attorney, the public defender started saying I was this and I was that, and I just kept on asking her questions. I was like, why you identify, I mean, under what authority you identify me by that name? And the way we look at it is that name is not your property. That name was created for your benefit, but also for their benefit. Both of us benefit from that name. You get indemnification from all the earthly claims. They get all the benefit of your commercial energies to sustain themselves. So it's a symbiotic nature. And what's going on right now is the people are trying to claim ownership of it, and are destroying the symbiosis within the beast. And if you remember, if you've seen Spider-Man 3, what happens is if it goes out of balance, you have a takeover of one or the other. And right now it's out of balance. And we have a takeover by the dark half of our nature. There's a light half and a dark half of our nature. And we have to keep, basically it has to be in balance. You have to have one or the other. You can't have extreme to one and extreme to the other. Then you have the whole system out of whack, and that's what causes diseases and cancers. So when we do this, we look at it as, hey, how can we help, how can I help you settle this matter? And you also have to look at it, I don't want to intervene in your affairs, but if you need me to help you, I will help you to the best of my abilities. Meaning they have title of everything. They have all the commercial value of it all. They own everything. But basically ownership is just the one who takes care of the maintenance of it. So when they claim ownership, they're not claiming ownership of the exact of the physical property, because fictions don't have need of ownership of physical needs. They're more the abstract. They have the titles, they have all the paper. So when you go into your IRS thing, you just go, okay, how can I help you? And if they say, we need you, you go, what do you mean you need me to do this? How am I liable to handle the name? How do I have the ability to? The ability to settle any debt in this country is out of your hands. It's already done. You have no debts you have. If you claim you owe a debt, then you're basically turning your back on yourself.
Yeah. And if you claim the name, you're in dishonor. Because
that's
you're
right.
You're not forgiving your brother, in other words.
Right.
That's the way they're looking at it.
Yeah. And that's all there is just forgiveness. Both sides have to come to forgiveness.
That's the only remedy. The only remedy is forgiveness.
You can't go into clans. I mean, I've seen people where they do this, and they get it done, and then they go into vengeance mode. Like, okay, well, now I'm going to get them for what they did to me. And that's the wrong way you're looking at it. They're not here to harm you. They're running under presumptions that you're one of these damn idiots out there claiming ownership of everything, and you don't own anything. You never did. It's an illusion. Ownership is an illusion. It's one of the various illusions we've been sold over the years, and we believe it. We've lost our way. So now we have to go back onto the path, and I've been watching the Book of Eli. I just watched it today. And perfect example of this, he's walking westward, and he encounters a group of motorcycle guys who attack two other people on the road, kill the guy, and they're beginning to, you know, do their thing around raping and pillaging. And he's sitting there, he goes, it's not my concern. As much as he wants to help them, it's not his concern. He's following another path. That's what we're each on individual paths of self-discovery to bring about the whole discovery. That's why we're all here. We're not all the same. We're all the same, but we're all following different paths to bring about the whole. Because each one of us is a part of the whole, so we can never be the whole. So each one of us goes about our own little paths, and when paths cross, then they cross. But if they don't cross, and you don't allow yourself to get caught up in other people's affairs, then you can just follow your path. And it's a test. Every single time they come after that name, it's a test to see if you can control your ego from thinking it's all about you. Because it's not about you, it's about the whole. It's about the system. The system itself is neutral. It's whoever operates it at whatever specific time in honor that it's going to work for. And right now, the guys in control of this world right now are operating it in honor. And the people around and the people everywhere else are bitching and moaning and fighting it, so they're in dishonor and therefore entitled to no remedies until they can remedy themselves. I mean, you look at it everywhere. You look on the news, you look at it, the first thing people did, we're gonna start attacking. This guy's gotta pay it. Somebody's gotta pay for it. Somebody's gotta pay it. Somebody's gotta pay it. Somebody's gotta pay. They're always looking outward. And they don't realize that they're the problem. They're the problem because they can't get out of the way. Because they're trying to protect their claim. and you have no claim except forgiveness. You just use everything. Everything's here for us to use. The whole world, on everything on it, is there for us to use. Now, we can either use it for destructive or constructive purposes. And, you know, when you, like I said, when you go into the IRS, you say, how can I help you and how can I pay? You have no ability to pay.
I'll bet you'll see a difference in night and day, the way they treat you.
Yeah, just don't, and you know, just don't go in there with the Patriot stuff, you know, sovereign this, sovereign that, HJR 192. Don't even bother with any of that. That's background knowledge so you understand what's going on. That's why it fails when these people use it in court, because they're trying to bring background knowledge into the forefront instead of just operating their existence.
They're in there trying to educate the people that know
that's
what they're
right.
doing, and that's an insult. On top
yeah.
of they putting a claim on a name that don't belong to them, so that's why they're going for psychiatric evaluation. And then
yeah.
they put a counterclaim in. This guy's really got to be nuts. He's already got a claim. Now he's counterclaiming himself. What's going
yeah.
on here? I mean,
and it's basically because we're claiming ownership. They got all their agents out here on the countryside. They're going to round everybody up and go, hey, you claim ownership of this. And the first thing they go, yeah. And as soon as you say, yeah, that's me, it's like, you're done. It's over. I mean, you can correct it at any time once you repent, which is just basically you change the way you think. It's a whole renewing of the mind. It's basically the Armageddon. It's going to happen in between people's heads, in between their ears. And not everybody's going to survive it. And that's a sad fact of life. But it's got to happen, because they've got to get rid of, you know, they're separating the wheat from the chaff. They got to make sure that you know, that people understand what the hell's going on. You know, because we're about right, you know, the way I see it is we're about to experience a monumental shift in consciousness. And those who can't conform to the shift will fall away to the wayside. And there's a lot of them out there. A lot of people out there who want vengeance, and vengeance is not theirs to be had. It's not for them to claim. And that's what you do when you put in a counterclaim. You're going, it's an eye for an eye. You're claiming vengeance. And we all know what happens. You go eye for eye, man. What's the only possible outcome for eye for eye? Is the whole world becomes blind.
Well, that's why most of them counterclaims come up. You know, failure to state a remedy, how's it going? A claim?
A failure to state a claim upon which relief can be granted.
Right, because the only relief that can be granted is forgiveness, you know, and
yep.
you are in control of that.
And everything else is your agreement that you think you're guilty of.
See,
and it's your own guilt that they're using against you. You feel guilty about something you've done. So they're going to use it against you. Remember, anything you say or do can and will be used against you in the court of life. So what they're doing is they're going into court going, hey, this guy feels guilty. What punishment we got for him? And you go in there and go, blah, 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 yakety-smackety, I claim this, I claim that. And they're like, ah, claim denied. Well, this guy over here gets his because you failed to rebut the presumptions. You have a contract with them. When you go in there and try these counterclaims and stuff like that, you don't address the initial issue of you're the one liable for the debt. When you go in there and just go, okay, I have a counterclaim. Well, you just said you're liable for the debt, and now here's a counterclaim of how you're going to pay for it. That's all you're doing. If you go in there and go, okay, I'm here for that matter. Well, why are you here? Well, I'm here to correct a mistake. Well, what's the mistake? I've got no proper notice. Well, what happens if we give you proper notice? Well, then I'll deal with it honorably. That's what that whole sentence just said. Is you just rebutted all presumptions within four phrases in that sentence.
Yep, and proper notice is a meeting of the minds. You both
right.
have to totally agree on the situation. Other than that, there's no contract between you, the court, or the prosecuting attorney.
Right, and they're going to throw stuff at you like you are guilty or the order is done or some ambiguous statement. And it's another test of ego saying, okay, is this about me or is it not about me?
Yep. Is it about
like if he says you, who the hell is he talking to? It could be anybody in that courtroom. You. Who's you?
If you respond, well, he'll go under the presumption that you're liable for the matter.
Yep. And, you know, I've made mistakes like that. Everybody's made mistakes like that. It's all a learning process. And, you know, when you get it right, they back off. I know they back off. They revoked two orders to have me mentally committed for 5 years, or commitment to mental health for 5 years. On the floor, I didn't ask them anything. I said that statement, and somebody said he's this and that, and I said, under what authority are you making that? And she kept going with it, and I kept on asking her the question. Because until they answer your one question, there is no other question. Once you ask, how am I liable for that name, and they keep on going with it and trying to force it on you, how am I liable for that name? You sound like you just keep going with it. You don't get off your question, because until they answer it, they haven't answered it. And everybody is equal. Equality under the law is paramount and mandatory by law. Everybody's equal. So if I am forced to answer someone else's question, then by law, they're forced to answer my question. And if they don't answer my question, then they're in dishonor to me. And now they have no right to continue.
You'd be surprised how they handle it.
And they'll make up something. They'll do something or make up something to get rid of it. But you don't care. Once you put in a point and nobody rebuts it, that you have, how am I liable for the name? Or you go in there and say that phrase. Nobody's rebutted it. Well, now we have no meeting of the minds. How can I deal with anything honorably when there's no agreement? And how am I liable for that name when y'all can't even provide evidence that I am that name? That's their property. It's their property to keep handle of accounts and for you to use to acquire assets on for their behalf or whatever, however you want to do it. It's basically your indemnification from claims on the earth from the world. So you don't become of the world. You're just in the world. You're not of the world. And you don't own anything, you surrender it. All. You surrender it all to those in charge of the world so you can be in the world without the debts of the world. So you can just live your life and do your thing. Do whatever you're here it is to do, and you just have to listen to your heart and your gut. That'll lead you everywhere you need to go.
Just obey the one rule. Love everybody. Love your brother, your sisters. Obey that and do what's best for everyone. And there is no law.
Yep.
The law is the old schoolmaster. But once you learn to love and forgive everyone and try to help everyone, you're no longer under the law.
Yep. Yeah, because forgiveness is the most powerful weapon you can ever have. It is a weapon for which there is no defense. Because if you forgive someone and they don't forgive you, who's the burden on? If you forgive yourself and nobody else forgives you, who's the burden on? I don't have any burden. My burden is light. I don't need your forgiveness. All I have to do is forgive myself. Your lack of forgiveness unto me is your burden. That's your cross to bear. That's what you'll be crucified upon, because if you lack forgiveness, all that hatred and all that anger sits inside of you.
You'll never have remedy. You'll never have true remedy.
You'll never have peace.
Even if you won a $1 billion lawsuit, if you didn't forgive the other side, what good is it?
Yeah. I mean, it's like that whole thing, when you store all that anger, anger leads to hatred. Hatred leads to, suffering, all that stuff, man. It's just a chain reaction. And you see it everywhere. I mean, I see it everywhere I go. How much anger there is in the world. And it's just because people can't forgive themselves for being ignorant of their position within the world. They've forgotten who they are. They've been allowed themselves to be deceived. They follow false idols. They trample through deserts following ineffective leadership. And then when they get to the mirage and it's not there, they drink the sand, thinking it's water. The people don't know that they can lead themselves. Everybody around, even you can look all around, everybody's, the government has to do this, they have to do this, they have to do that. I'm like, why do they have to do anything? Why can't you do it? If someone says you can't do it, who the hell says I can't do it? Even when you're doing something, if they say you can't do it, then why am I doing it now? Now, they told the Wright brothers they wouldn't fly. And look, okay, well, they were told they couldn't do it. Well, they did it, so who said they couldn't do it? You know, there's a lot of things that people have done over the years, you know, throughout history, when you look at it, that people said, you can't do it. Well, even in courtroom, people say you can't do it after you've done it.
Yeah, I had a judge do that. I'm demurring. He says, you can't demur. I says, what do you mean I can't demur? I just did, didn't I?
Yeah. It's like driving a car without a license. People say you can't drive a car without a license. I'm like, I do it every day. That little piece of plastic doesn't start the vehicle. The key in my pocket does. And now until they make that little piece of plastic start the vehicle, I can drive. You know, until some magical property happens, you know, that changes that whole situation. You know, there's lots of things people say can't be done, but they're done every day. And it's just the negativity of it. I mean, the negativity and then the absolute defeatism within people is just horrific. I mean, you see, everybody defeats themselves before they even get started. And a lot of it comes from the what-if scenarios. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if this happens? And I can tell you 9 times out of 10, that what-if scenario people go over their heads ain't ever going to happen. You know, I see it everywhere I go on the internet, on certain sites. So like the oil spill, for example, they're using that whatever material they're using out in the Gulf. And just because they told it was toxic to the humans, everybody's going nuts over it. Okay, well, maybe they're not even using it. Maybe the oil is a natural effect of nature, which we know it is because of the tube worms down in the lower depths and the lakes of methane at the bottom of the ocean, that maybe they just drilled into the side of a mountain and go, hey, let's stir up the public here, man. Let's stir up these people and see how many of them we can get riled up. See how much anger we can generate, and then we can feed off the resulting energy. It's the people that feed the beast. And I have a feeling that this whole oil spill in the Gulf, man, is just an excess amount of bacteria in the Gulf killing off the animals. And they're using the dispersants to kill the bacteria to flood the shorelines for a massive real estate grab when the people leave their properties. But anyway, but the people themselves, I mean, you go to all these sites and people cite everything in the world about what's wrong, you know, what they're doing, how evil, how this and that and this and that, and it suddenly gets into people's minds, and you get enough people thinking about it and acting upon it, and suddenly it happens. They become what they fight. If you keep on fighting something, then it's going to happen. You know, you can't war against something and have it not have it not exist. A war on terrorism will beget terrorism. You know, a war on drugs, on drug dealers and drug murders and all that stuff will beget more because that's what it creates. It has to create its own enemy. That's the problem with war. It creates its own enemy. And then you just feed it all to the people. I mean, they knew it. They've done it for thousands of years. Every war you can go back and look at, and I'll bet you one thing leads to another, that it was some guy who started a rumor or laid the foundation for it, and suddenly it got wind of the people, and the people started worrying about it, started preparing to defend against it, and lo and behold, guess what? It happened. If the people embraced it and said, okay, we welcome it, it would never have come about. But when you go into that, when you go and deal with the IRS and you just go, okay, well, I'm here for that matter. How can I help you? And if they ask you about, you know, are you this name? You know, what makes you, you know, what evidence do you have that that's be used as personal identification? What's my liability to it? You didn't create it. The state did as a matter of law, as an operational law. An operational law harms no one. So it must be by your consent that you agree to be that name, or you agree to be identified by it. And you don't want to be identified by it because you don't know who else is using it. Someone else may be using it to do other things. And some of those things may not be the best interest of you. So if you claim to be that name, you have no idea who else is using it. Like I found an article, what was it, on this little six-year-old girl or whatever, who was on the no-fly list. And what I got out of the story is someone else is using that name to do something else, and they flagged it so nothing would happen here. So that person, whoops. Here's the story. But, so when that girl flew, I mean, someone else was using that name. They're using that name somewhere else.
No fly list, that's just...
Well, she claimed to be the name. The family claimed her to be the name. Okay. Someone else is using that name to do something on do something that can cause injury to the public. But they have a license to do. They're doing it covertly or black ops, whatever the hell they're doing. But they flagged it to say, okay, nobody can. They're not going to allow this name to travel within this country because this name is doing something that's could be conceived as a threat to the public.
It's more like the name.
How does the practical application?
What do you mean?
What about the practical application?
Like what?
Well, let's say your name's that name is on the no-fly list, and you need to fly somewhere. If you can't fly in this country without some type of identification.
I identify myself as a peaceful inhabitant.
Do you?
I've begun walking around with a photograph, and I just put on the back, this inhabitant gives himself the right to travel and do whatever he is doing provided no injury occurs to anybody around him. Do we have a problem with that? I haven't had the need to issue it yet or show it. That's what I use.
I guess I've done that to a degree through a scriptural identification process with a picture. The question I would ask, and that I'm trying to sort out a bit. If you have to fly somewhere in this country, they're looking for some type of government ID in order to let you on that plane.
Well, who's the government?
Pardon me?
Who's the government?
The ones that issue the licenses and
the
driver's licenses.
Who's the government?
Well, we are the government, I think.
Right. So if you issue yourself an ID, isn't that not a government-issued ID?
Yeah, but accepted as such. You walk up to a United counter and hand them something that they don't recognize as ID.
Well, then they need...
Then you, chances of getting... The chances of getting on that plane.
The point of the matter is you don't.
I got to take care of some. I'll be right back.
All right. But the point of the matter is that have you tried it? I got my own ID. I use it all over the place. Cash checks with it. Buy beer with it. Showed it to the police and spot checks. Been pulled over and used it. They never put me in jail. I made up my own little...
Got an airplane with it?
I don't fly. I haven't flown in years. I don't need to. What? If I ever have to need...
But if you need to fly...
Then I'll find out, I guess.
Yeah, there's a... when you... Well, I just from my own experience trying to get on to a commercial line, before you can get through the gatekeepers, you have to display your ID, and they generally only accept what they consider to be federal government-issued identification.
The point of the matter is, do you already have a ticket?
You can't get a ticket without one.
What do you mean you can't? Since when? You can buy a ticket before you even go to the airport. Point of the matter is, they're going to stop
okay,
you. If they stop you from getting on the plane, I'm asking, are you interfering with commerce? I write to my, for me to use this, I bought a fare to use this plane. Are you intervening? Are you going to prevent me from getting on this plane? I mean, I identified myself as a peaceful inhabitant. I mean, you have anything to lead you to believe otherwise? No. Well, then why are you preventing me from getting on the plane? I have a valid ticket here. I've heard one guy say he
just the ticket.
I heard one guy says he flies. I can't recall who it was, but he said he don't have an ID at all. He always gets on the plane. So he said anyway. I don't know. I don't have first-hand knowledge of it.
Right. Well, I'm certainly interested in that, in the process that somebody would use. Of course, maybe it's just I'm not having been successful in that venture. It's sort of like if you have a ticket, then the ticket's going to have a name on it.
So, yeah.
And the name generally has to be, now I'm only saying it has to because that's my mind. It may not be you, and I'm trying to cross that bridge. But the name that they let you fly on is the legal name. Because
that's the name's just to do commerce.
You had to submit.
The name's just a transmitting utility so you can use it in commerce.
Right. Well, let me ask you a question, because like, obviously my understanding is not up to speed. And of course, this belies the fact that, you know, I have a driver's license and I've operated, you know, that government ID is what they use to identify me. If I hand them that government ID, then I guess I, in my own, can see that being that name.
No, not necessarily.
If I could get an ID.
There's people, I believe there's people that have the ID that the government knows that they're not that ID. They don't claim ownership of it, and it's on their records. I mean, I ain't saying don't use a driver's license and stuff. In fact, if things go the way I think they will down the road here, I'll probably have them. The point of the matter is, the status on that, as far as that name goes, is I don't claim ownership of the name. It's just there for the benefit of the government and me, so there's no problems with me dealing in commerce. And no, none of their agents, because I'll tell you, any of their agents bring me into a courtroom, they don't want to be there. You see? Last time I got arrested, the cop never showed up. They know me now, and I did that thing. I'm here for the matter and whatnot, and the charges, they found a way to get rid of them. I said, fine, no problem. It was over. I never asked them to. All I did was stayed on point with them. I'm here for the matter. There's a mistake, no proper notice, and I want to deal with you honorably. And I said it shouldn't even be in court. Prosecuting attorney jumped up, didn't rebut anything I said. She turned around and said, well, it already is in court. And if I knew what I knew today and wanted to be a dick about it, she'd be lucky if she still had her job, because she went in total dishonor. She was an embarrassment to the court. She's the one who brought the charge in there now, because I didn't accept liability for the name. She brought a charge against United States property. Therefore, she broke laws, you see. But the judge handled it, protected her, nobody got in trouble really, and they took care of the charges, and they haven't bothered me since. In fact, the police officers I've met since the time treat me with the highest respect. And you want to see me at the time, long hair and a beard, man, I look like something that just crawled out of a cave. But they treat me with honor. I don't know how else to put it, because I treat them with honor, you know. I didn't sue them. I have an order here for that last case. All costs and taxes go to the prosecuting attorney. that there was a ticket for me to sue him if I wanted to. But, hey, I forgive him. If I turned around and sued him, wouldn't I be giving the government the wrong idea? I'm claiming ownership again? To me, it's just crazy to do that. But that's the way I think now. Heck, you go back 5, 10 years, I just as soon try to sue him. And I got lawsuits on judges and cops and stuff. Didn't get anywhere with him. Well, I got one judge to recuse himself and different times, a couple judges here and there. But I was doing it wrong. I was in dishonor. It was my mistake. Now I realize the problem is me. Once I started realizing that, I don't have a problem with these people anymore. I don't know how else to put it. I give them what they need to do their job. If I can do it, it's theirs. Take it.
All right, the how-to, I guess, is something that I get crossed on. You know, my situation is that they're indicating, based on notice, that I have most of refused for cause, but that I owe, let's say I just owe for a year of taxes. And it's a legal name, and it's, you know, it's a notice that comes to my so-called mailbox, and demanding, you know, $5,000.
Yeah.
I don't, at this time, and through the process of learning, you know, through these types of discussions, I realize that they are tagging the legal name, which is not me.
There's a controversy. You got a claim on that name, far as they see it. All you need to do is settle the matter. Well, in the matter of that name, I believe there's a mistake. I have no proper notice, and I want to deal with this honorably. Please notify me on what you need, or how can I help you settle this matter honorably. That's all. Let's see where it goes. No argument. How do you want me to pay it? There's no money, so how can you pay it? Everything's paid for. Unless you want to claim liability for that name, well, now that, yeah, you're getting a bill.
You make the comment that everything is paid for.
Yeah.
Is that through the process? How do you substantiate that claim?
Well, by their own rules, if you go back 1933, HDR resolution, I forget, 128 or something like that, they say right there, everything's paid for.
Right.
Government will handle all affairs, so let them do it. Why get in the way of it?
Okay, so let's say that action is stated. What you said is that they believe that I have made a claim, therefore accepted liability, and I believe that out of ignorance, I did that for years, and then I started to
we see all
that
have.
There was something terribly wrong with that. Right. So then to turn, okay, so now I'm in the process of understanding that there has been a mistake that has been made, and that, you know, the evidence of not making a claim on that name is if they're obviously in their mind and in the appearances of things that have gone on, I made that claim. So now all of a sudden, I'm claiming that there's a mistake over this matter because I'm indeed me. I am not that.
Right, but you don't need to
that name that you claim.
You don't need to go and explain and all that. All you got to do is point out there's a mistake in the matter of that name. And you have no proper notice, but you do want to deal with it honorably. Please, you know, let me know anything I can do to help you settle the matter. If they want you to pay it, well, how can I pay it? It's all paid for.
Well, that type of a comment often falls on ears that begin to accuse you of being crazy.
So let them accuse you of being crazy. Big deal. I've been there. Boris has been there.
So
until he learned how to do it like we're doing it, it stopped him.
Well, I guess that's what I'm after, is the, I guess the confidence, the mental image that allows me to walk that road in a honorable fashion.
Right. See, it's not, you got to remember.
You know, and it's contrary.
Well, you got to remember one thing too, though. It's not what they say, it's what they do. They will sit there and lie, cheat, and steal in your eyes. The point of the matter is they're seeing if you know what the truth is. It's not their job to tell you the truth. See, when you go in there and claim that name, you automatically become a debt collector. Look at the laws and rules and regulations for a debt collector. That's why the attorneys won't answer your papers. They don't got to answer anything. You're the one claiming the name. That's why you become surety. You got to put up your body as surety for the claim you put on the name. Don't claim the name. I'm here for that matter. It really comes down to that simple. And all them laws are right in front of you, how they deal with debt collectors. And debt collectors are on a short leash, man.
Oh, they're beyond a short leash. They got them on like a thread overhanging a cavern. I mean, the rules for debt collectors, man, are severely, severe. You don't have to answer one letter a debt collector gives you, because they're already in dishonor. Collecting on a debt is already in dishonor, because they're violating the one rule, forgiveness.
Well, what about the administrative process that occurs if you do not...
Who are they administrating the process against? You or the name?
Their legal name.
Well, then that's their problem to deal with.
The name.
That's their problem to deal with.
Well, it isn't. It is until they come and, you know, as you've been through the process of where they put out a warrant for your arrest and call you to court, and if you don't answer, it's failure to show. And then
all you do is go down and point out the mistake. Why are you using this name? What is my liability's name, and why are you using his personal identification? Just because you use something doesn't make you it. The name is not, that name is not personal identification. I have asked this question 1,000 times, people. Show me the place where you get the idea the name is to be used as personal identification. Just show it to me. Show me where it says that. I've asked the people down there at the registrar, the whole, I went through the whole, the health acts that are done to create the birth certificate. Nothing in there says it identifies the person. It identifies an event. It doesn't identify the actual living, the living body of the man or the woman or whatever, however you want to put it. Nothing in there says that it's supposed to be, it's the faulty presumptions on the people's part that create the problem. Everybody presumes it is. I mean, everybody uses it that way, just like they use Social Security numbers and identification. That's not to be used as identification either. But everybody keeps using it that way. So if you're going to use it that way, okay, fine. Here, you think you can handle it? Here you go. What you're really doing is you made a pledge. Like if you read the declaration, it says they hereby pledge their life, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. That's what you've done when you do the birth certificate. Now you become a part of the posterity, unless you don't want to be. If you don't want to be, you can claim ownership, and then they'll give you all the ownership you can handle, all the responsibility and duties you can deal with, because you have no idea who else has put claims on that name. No idea what's going on. I mean, I hear it tell the Vatican's got claims, the Queen of England's got claims, the Federal Reserve has this, that, this. I mean, a whole bunch of shit. Do you want the liability of having to settle all those up all those claims just to enforce your so-supposed secured position? That's what the UCC people do. And they don't even see it. They don't even see that they have to settle all of those debts before they can make their claim. You know, that's what you have. That's what you do when you're making those claims. You have to settle all the claims that are on that property in order to claim the ownership of it.
Well,
you want that liability?
Okay. Not really.
Then why claim?
In life, day by day, living day by day,
right.
Operating in commerce because, you know, that's how you can get substance
right
for survival and
that's where we're at now is trying to get a hold of that agent or getting a hold of one of their agents or finding, you know, letting them lead you down where you need to be and just say, how do I operate using this name in commerce? Without causing injury.
Well, the biggest step I'd say is getting that. I believe the name I use now is Indigent. It's on the record. It's Indigent.
Yeah, mine's incompetent and irrecoverable.
Yeah.
Irrecoverable incompetent.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
I'm not competent to handle the government's affairs.
Yeah, I mean, when they declared that name incompetent, I was like, all right. I was like, okay, you can declare it whatever you want to. Just doesn't mean it's me.
Well, you know, how do you then, I guess it's the functioning in the construct of being who you are versus who they say you are. And then there is a controversy over that. If they say you one thing and you're asking them,
that's what you say.
It's like what Christ said.
Yeah, where's your proof?
Like what Christ said before Pontius Pilate. He said, you king of the Jews? He says, did you figure that out on your own or did somebody tell you that? In other words, he needed Christ to say, yeah, I'm king of the Jews, but he didn't. He asked him, well, how do you come to that conclusion? And Pontius Pilate sent him on his way. I find no fault with this man. We had to let him go. And they'll do it. It's amazing. I know it sounds too simple, but I've seen it happen. Oris got first-hand knowledge of it. I got first-hand knowledge of it. I don't know what else to tell you.
Yeah. I mean, all we can do is, you know, we can help you study for the test, and we can help you along the way and give you, you know, teach you what we know. When it comes time to take the test, man, that's your responsibility. And either you pass or you fail. I mean, we can't take it.
Well,
for you.
You could even right. Well, let's just go back to where Yeshua didn't admit to the name, but they killed him anyway.
Well, he stood mute in the end. He didn't speak up, and Pontius Pilate had a problem with that. Even if you read the scriptures, like, man. How come he was more or less, how come you're not talking? Pontius Pilate didn't want to kill him, but he stood mute. His tacit response is admission of guilt or signs of fraud. He's guilty.
He didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
But in the end, it did eat his it eated Pilate's conscience.
Yeah.
He didn't want to do it, but he had no choice. He did exactly, you know, they made all these accusations. They did, you know, and what happened? He had to do what he had to do.
He went on to preponderance of the evidence. I know I've tried it that way, stood mute. I went to jail.
Yeah, you have the right to remain silent. The only thing is, what they don't say after that is, but you will be held accountable for everything that everybody accused you of when you do remain silent.
Yep.
And that's why we go in there, and the first thing you do is you state those four phrases, the four cornerstones or pillars or whatever.
Now they got to rebut it, and they can't.
Yeah, now they got to rebut it. When they don't rebut it, now anything they do after the fact is all BS. It has nothing to do with you. You just said you're there for them. Out. You didn't say you're the name.
Yeah.
You said you had no proper notice, no meeting of the mind. So what are they doing seeking sanctions against you? They're not against you. They're against the name.
And they'll balance and settle the matter unless you meddle with it by clamping the name.
Or you sit there and interfere and put in, you know, do your thing where you get up in court and you tell them I'm not this and I'm not that. And they're like, well, you know, you say you're not.
That's controversy. That's you know, they assume everybody's lying when you're making statements. It don't matter. You're fraud. But when you're asking a question, now you keep the burden of proof on them. And you know.
That's right. I mean, the way I see it is, you know, they're operating in a certain venue and their venue has strict rules. And if you can make the one rule break down in their venue, everything breaks down. Everything comes apart. And then whatever they were doing now is no longer justified.
And somebody
it's now
will
an
step,
act of aggression.
And somebody's watching them. Somebody will step in sooner or later and handle it and straighten out the matter.
Yeah, in my case, it was a forensic coordinator.
You got protections you don't know. If you're in honor, man, you got protections you don't even know.
Yeah.
Can't even imagine.
You just have to have faith that that's the way it works. That's what full faith and credit means. You have to have faith that that's the way it works. Because that is the way. I mean, it's just true. It's self-evident.
Through my experience, it is.
It's been through my experience, too. And they'll handle it. They'll take care of it. There's nothing you need to do. You need not exert yourself because your burden is light. There is no yoke of burden upon you.
Unless you want to volunteer.
Yep. And they'll be more than happy to saddle one on you and take you out to the field and have you plow for them. Yep. That seems like what the people of this world want. Because everywhere you go, they're all screaming for it. Their savior, the government.
Well, I went through I've already been through one court case for failure for evasion of taxes in a state. And I will agree. I mean, I made some mistakes because I was ignorant. I was mute. I never said a word in that trial. Others spoke for me, and they incarcerated me for up to 30 months. They let me out in 10, and it was a weird manner in which it occurred, but I remained mute anyway. I got to the point where I was really too afraid to say anything because I was in a situation where I knew I was going down from the very beginning. I mean, the judge just stood and screamed at me the whole time because I was not, I guess, cooperative in a sense. I would not sign or do anything. So and I didn't use the, I guess it would be a technique or the knowledge that you guys use, because I didn't know anything about it. And they used various documentation to, as evidence, that I was that name.
It's all hearsay.
Yep.
And so
it's the preponderance of the evidence that what they went on was the preponderance of the evidence that you never rebutted. All you had to do was ask the question, says, what evidence do you have that that paperwork has anything to do with me?
Yep.
Your tacit response gave it to them.
You have what you call four guidelines, your questions that you
four statements that laid down the evidence. I give the judge the evidence he needs to settle the matter, to point out that, hey, I'm not liable for the name. Now somebody needs to rebut that. And they don't. They can't. Unless you say, yeah, that's my name. You're the witness. You're the first witness against yourself. Make any sense?
I mean, nowadays you can't even get into a courtroom unless you give them some type of ID.
So? Well, yeah, you can. Well, I haven't been there lately, but
I've never seen anything like that in our course. We can sit down in the gallery. We don't have to give anything Friday. We just show up.
Yeah, when I go into court, the only thing I bring with me is my clothes and a silver dollar in my pocket. And maybe the Bible. I never bring an ID when
I don't even bring that. I go in there in just my clothes and a key for my car.
Yep.
That's all I go in with.
Yep.
I want a phone to call Batman when I'm done. But other than that, I don't bring anything.
Well, in order to even get into the district court in the state, you have the glass doors and the, you know, like you're at a teller window, and they want to see your ID, sign you in, and then you can go.
Yeah, I know. They're like that. I never tried to get in there without an ID. I did have a...
Well, now you could also try this in that instance, is bring down the little picture like I do and say I'm peaceful and having it. And go, well, then I'm here just here to correct a mistake.
As a friend of the court?
Yeah, as a friend of the court, I'm just here to correct a mistake, so I need to talk to someone who has the authority to correct it.
They'll let you
or
in.
That can present evidence to.
I never tried it, but I'm betting they'll let you in if you do it properly.
I mean, I got this by mistake. I don't know
what
me, so I'm here to correct it. Because I'm not sure if, you know, I'm not, you know, just to ensure that nobody gets injured. Now, if you want to prevent people from getting injured, that's great. You can turn me away. You know, if you don't want to prevent people from getting injured, okay, turn me away. But I'm here to help people from getting injured in the course of this action. So, you know, you can either point me to where I have to go, or you can turn me back. The decision's yours now. But you'll be taking full personal liability for it.
I think if you handle these guys in the proper manner, you'll have no trouble getting in there.
Yeah.
It's worth a shot. Bring the court document in there. Say, here, I'm here for that matter. And show them that.
Do me a favor and quickly give me the four statements. I'm here for that matter.
Yeah.
I'll type them in for you.
All right.
I always put a for the record on the front of it. That's just my thing.
I've had an ongoing campaign since the year 2000.
Gets old, man.
And, yeah, it gets old.
I know, and I went through one.
You know.
I was looking at 6 years in prison. I went through, I don't know, 3-4 years of that crap going back and forth before I knew what I knew today.
I know. Well, that's why I called you, because I listened to you guys. I said, well, you obviously have a handle on a mental image that I don't have. And it's due to whatever training I had. And then to discover you've been completely deceived your whole life by those you supposedly trusted, you know, it begins to destroy all that trust. So I have no trust in any of those persons that identify as an agent with some subdivision of the beast.
Well,
so
you got to realize, well, you don't got to realize, but if you could realize that the government is not made up but nothing but people like you and me. We are the beast.
Yeah.
See? And if we stay in honor, it's not so bad. But if we go into dishonor, claiming things that aren't ours, now we got a problem. And who will make war with the beast? Not me. I give them what they need.
Yeah, because all you're really doing is making war with yourself.
The hardest part you're gonna find the hardest part you're gonna find is forgiving yourself. That's the problem. You want to blame everybody else, but until you realize you're the problem and start handling that, you're gonna have a hard time with things. That's what I've found anyway. Because these agents out there and stuff, the majority of them are there to help you. Believe it or not, it may not seem like it, but they're They'll do the right thing if you do the right thing. I've been surrounded by them.
Well, there may be. Well, that is, I mean, that's certainly good news in that, in the nature of all that, because that is, for somebody like me, it's, I guess I'm trying maybe trying too hard, but I'm, you know, it's like a counter to everything that I was taught my whole life.
Yeah, it's a whole new way of thinking.
The nature of, correct. And I'm making that passage, you know, I'm in that passage, and I'm working my way toward that, and it must be some type of additional revelation for me in order to come into that place.
Yeah.
I'm simply facing what I've been facing is a consistent form of notice by the beast that I have some type of a liability, which I have denied. And
see, yeah, see, denying it's not the way to go. It's like,
I've been thinking once.
Right. See, denying it's not the way to go is, how can I help you? If I'm liable for this matter, I want to help settle it. And right there, you're going into honor with them. But when you deny it, you don't owe, I don't owe this. Well, then you must owe something. Instead of saying, hey, if I owe this, how can we settle this matter? And then, you know, point out the mistake. Once you point out the mistake, once you point out there's a mistake, all bets are off, man. It's a whole new ballgame.
Well, it is until, you know, it is and it isn't. I mean, they're not going to lay down easy. They're going to try to make a mockery of you and move you into some area of insanity so that they can.
You don't know that for sure. The point of the matter is stay on point and see what they do. They'll yell and scream, man. That means you're doing something right. Point of it is, don't answer for the name. It's not what they say. It's what they do. And all of a sudden, you'll find that the charge will be settled. They'll settle the matter, as long as you don't claim the name. And try not to fall into their little traps, consenting to the name. It's, you know, a lot of it is just getting your heart right, realizing that, hey, I don't have a birthday. I don't know my birthday. Because, hey, do you know your birthday?
I could only know it if somebody, if I accepted what somebody said about it.
It's hearsay, right? So you don't know. It's not admissible in court. So why do you let it be admissible in court? Why do you lay claim to it? See? It's simple stuff like that. The name. Once you realize the name's not yours, and I've been interloping in the government's affairs, now, see, you're the problem. You went to jail and stuff, and it was all your own fault. See, that's a hard pill to swallow, because I know in your heart, I know I used to have it, that, hey, these bastards ought to pay for putting me away. I mean, I didn't deserve this, so you thought. But when I realized it, oh, I see now. I was claiming something and interfering in something that was none of my business. Now, well, it ain't so hard to start forgiving myself now. Okay, I made a mistake. Let's move on, you see?
You don't have your...
Well, in order to operate in commerce, you have to have Federal Reserve notes, which are... accepted as a medium of exchange.
So what? Use them. What's the big deal? It's currency. It's there. They went to currency because there isn't enough gold and silver coin to go around to really do things. Commerce. The only reason for money is to use to do commerce. It's there as a tool for us to use. Who cares about all that other patriot bullshit? The point of the matter is, if you recognize that name, you're guilty. If you claim that name, you're guilty. That's the issue. That's all it is. All the rest of it is smoke.
Well, so then, is there evidence that beyond, is there evidence in that they, well, you know, again, this is semantics, but, you know, the evidence that I've accepted that name is the fact that, you know, perhaps I have a license.
I live at an address. I receive mail at a certain point.
So what? You're using it. Big deal. The point of the matter is, you're using it. It's like a car. You get in the car and use it. But it's not you. It's not your property. You're just using it.
It's property that belongs to everybody.
Yeah.
You just happen to be the one using it, and when you're using it, you know, hey, if someone comes around with a superior claim or a superior need, they can have it.
Yeah. The point of it is chances are they won't, because if everybody was going by the one golden rule, nobody'd be trying to take something from somebody else. In fact,
right.
It'd be giving. And if everybody was giving, nobody would be doing without in this world. Because there's plenty to go around. But people like to hoard. That's my money. It's like mammon. It goes bad if you hoard it. It gets worth less and less, has less and less value to do things with, the more people hoard it. It was never meant to be hoard. It's meant to do commerce. Go out,
yeah.
Get what you need, live your life, enjoy it. Be happy with what you got.
Money is meant to be a servant of mankind, not its ruler.
Yep, and when you say, I own this much money, actually that money owns you. Now you're of the world.
Yeah, because a claim of ownership is a claim to be owned.
Well, do you have, either of you have any kind of a banking connection?
Banking connection? What do you mean?
Well, if you're operating in commerce, then you have to operate as with
funds. Oh, yeah, I use banks.
You use banks.
Yeah. Why not? That's what they're there for.
Okay, what I'm trying to get a handle on is the practical application of understanding who you are and then not overstepping the bounds of ownership. So if you're working for a company and you've been signed on as legal name and you get some type of remuneration on a monthly basis,
okay.
At the end of that, and every month they're collecting funds for the beast because that's what you're supposedly required to do. And then you're trying to exist within the commerce but without an ownership arrangement. And at the end of the year they send you a W-2 and that W-2 is submitted to the IRS and the IRS then sends you a bill or some type of a bill, a notice that you owe X amount of dollars.
Who are they saying owes it?
And
the name or you?
And the name.
Okay.
Well, in my case, you always think, I was brought up to be that was me. I represented that name. I'm an agent for that name. I've learned since then that that's not true. But, of course, I've dug a hole.
You can always get out of the
that,
hole.
In the scenario. And I haven't been able to.
See, the point where you're going with is I understand. But once you point out to these
agents,
there's nothing to get out of. It's all been paid for. Once you point out to the agents the status and that you're not claiming the name, then they got to go ahead to balance the accounts. It'll go away.
Yeah. And if you're worried about how you're going to live, just send them the bills. Just walk into, if you really need groceries, walk into a grocery store, get what you need, ask if anybody has a claim against it. Say no. Well, then I'm going to use this and walk out with it. If they need to balance
the
account, you tell. No, I haven't done that myself.
Well, I was considering if I ever got to where I had to. Right now, I don't have to. But in my mind, I'd go down there, I'd write Social Security number across there, put the name in capital letters, and put ~ and sign it. Or just scribble something down there.
And if you're ever arrested for it, you basically just ask the question, all right, then how am I to operate this name in commerce using this name without creating injury to the public?
Well, the point of it is you tendered payment.
Yeah.
The clerk accepted that receipt. She got paid. Now if she calls the police, she's filing a false police report.
Yeah.
Because that's all you got to point out is, hey, I gave her what she needed to settle the account, you see. But I'm saying there's a better way to do it by finding the proper agent.
Yeah.
But I'm saying I don't see why that wouldn't work. If I got desperate, I'd give it a shot. But the point of the matter is when you notify that agent that you're no longer claiming that name, that gives them to go ahead to balance the account. And it's all paid for. It's just zeros and ones and the computer is all it really comes down to. And it's just mainly there to keep a governor on these crazy people on this planet.
Yeah. Hey, you got 6 billion of them. They're all crazy motherfuckers out there, man.
Yeah,
they all want everybody else's property.
They're all gimme, gimme, gimme. And it's just the way the government keeps a handle on people.
Yeah, they all want everybody else, what everybody else has. And it's like, dude, you know, they're all the screaming entitlements, and I'm entitled to this, and I'm entitled to that because of this and that. I mean, look at Europe right now, man. They're getting ready to destroy each other. They're getting ready to depopulate themselves, man. The people, the powers didn't have to do anything but just go, hey, let's see what happens when we do this.
Yep.
I mean, they raised, what is it, in France, they raised the minimum retirement age 2 years. From 60 to 62 or 62 to 64 or whatever the hell it is. Oh, my God, man, they're about ready to rip the country a new asshole out there, man. They're rioting and doing all kinds of shit in the streets. Man, I expect the Alpha Tower to go down here shortly, just fall down. I mean, these people are just insane, man. They think, well, because they had it, I get it. And it's like, you're not entitled to anything. You already have it all. You already have use of everything. What the hell do you think you're entitled to? But, you know, they all want what's me, 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 me. I'm like, Jesus, man. Everybody's stuck on that me. It's like a broken record.
Well, then how do you operate, for instance, with utilities? I mean, if you need to have electricity...
You would do it the same way. You would ask them, you know, how am I liable for this? Just because I receive it doesn't mean I'm the one liable for it. Who owns the name? Who owns title to the utility company? Who owns title to everything? Isn't it written the state has already claimed ownership of everything?
I believe that is true.
So if the state claims ownership of everything, why in the hell are you paying for it? Yeah, that's right. Somehow you get in the middle of it because you think you're liable for it. You presumed you were liable for it. And a faulty presumption on... Here we go. I have this one little thing I thought was pretty good.
Right. I see what...
Faulty presumptions on the part of the
people.
Trump any lie later laid to reinforce that illusion that people create for themselves. You presumed you were liable. They agreed. If you presume you're not liable, they'll agree. Because you're not.
If you have a place that you are residing in or living in, and you get utilities.
Mm-hmm.
In order to get utilities placed, you have to make a phone call. And you have to talk to the utility.
Right. Who you authorized.
And
who authorized the service of the utilities?
It would be done by me on a phone.
Right. So who's the only one that can authorize its disconnection?
Well, I would think it would be me, but I've learned if you don't pay, they'll disconnect you.
Well, if they don't, if you're going to assume you have to, if you presume you have to pay and you don't, you get disconnected for dishonor. If they presume, if they send the bill out to the name and the name doesn't respond, they're going to cut it off for dishonor. That's what they're doing. If you send that bill off somewhere else, go, hey, man, you know, the state claimed ownership, so do your duty as a state, Mr. Agent, and see that this matter gets taken care of. I'm sure it'll get taken care of.
And I wonder, in the matter of Dane?
Well, you probably, I mean, I would think you'd be going to one of the state attorneys.
Possibly, yeah.
Or, you know, U.S. attorney, state attorney, a local guy down here. You know, I mean, maybe send it to the IRS. I mean, you don't know. I don't really know who the agent is that takes care of it, and am I not supposed to know? I just give it to him. I mean, I send mine now to the forensic guy who intervened in my case. I send all my bills to him.
So you have an agent that is...
Well, he intervened in the case and said, okay, I'm going to handle it. I'm going to handle this. And I said, okay, well, then I'm going to send you everything for that name.
Yeah, you never got to that part.
I forgot. When the third time, the third meeting we had after I did my little sentence, they had another one after that where they went in and then prosecuted the order that was issued for someone to see the shrink for the name. And they went through their little spiel and blah, blah, blah. And every time they went to identify me as the one not doing the order, I would ask their witnesses, under what authority are you making that determination that I am that name? And then finally, I asked the judge a couple times. I asked the lawyer a couple. I asked the public defender a couple. Nobody ever answered it. So the third time I went there, they didn't even let me get up there to say anything. And the forensic guy came out, and we had a little discussion in the room with the public defender. And she was sitting there thinking, he doesn't think this matter applies to him, or he's not, you know, he doesn't think it involves him. He looked at me. I looked at him. He goes, he doesn't seem bothered by that. And I looked at him, and he goes, okay. And she goes, he won't speak to anybody. He goes, I can understand that. I won't want people bothering me either. And, you know, and we went through this whole thing, and it finally ended up being they reworked the order that said that I was to be left alone, and if I need anything, give him a call. And he handed me his card. And we've had a couple discussions, and he disappeared for a little while, and some other things came up, and they sent some other lady out to see if I needed anything, and I handed her a speeding ticket and a driving without license ticket. I got down in Miami, and I said, you know, she comes in, doesn't need anything. I go, well, matter of fact, I do. And I handed it to her, and, you know, and I started asking her questions, and she left, and I got another phone call from the guy, and we had a little discussion, and, you know, I talked to him. I go, what happens when I use this name out there? I mean, I can't be coming to you every time I use that name. And he goes, yeah, he goes, just send me, you know, he goes, I just want to hear about it. So just send me it. So I send them to him. Everything I get in that name goes to him. Any bill I get goes to him. Do I care what they do it? No. It's none of my concern.
Does that interrupt your daily existence? I guess you...
No, I just live my life.
Yourself in a place.
Yeah, I just go out and live my life and do my thing, and you know when I decide I'm going to push it a little bit more, I'll go out and push it and see what I can do with it. But right now, I'm content to where I am. You know, I'm a little restless here and there because I have other things I kind of would like to do, but. You know, and until I get things settled on my own, like I got other things in my own heart that need to be settled, my own conscience, you know, so I'm not really out to push anything. All I know is I'm settling the matter and I'm doing it the way I know how, which is give it to them. It's their job. In fact, I just got another bill. So I got another bill collector sending me a bill just yesterday. I got it, so I'll have to send him that one.
Well, you've managed to, I guess, reposition yourself in a way where you have an actual agent that's speaking for you. Most people don't have that going.
Well, they just haven't. Most people want to argue and present their claims and want to fire their attorneys and you know, put liens on judges and shit like that. And what they don't realize is they're actually, you know, they're getting rid of the one guy and getting rid of the crossover. That's what an attorney has. He's a crossover. He's a transmitting utility. They're getting rid of that. Next, they're engaging in economic warfare. lastly, they're interfering in matters that don't concern them, and it is a fault to matter and a fault to interfere in matters that don't concern you. And since you're volunteering your time and your effort into this case, you must wish to be joined. So the punishment will embrace you as well, because those consenting and those perpetrating are embracing the same punishment. All those are maxims of law. You can trace everything a judge, anything any one of these people do. I've looked at their court cases. I've listened to what they've said, and I can go on this page right here, look at these maxims, and pull out three or four every time I do it, really easy, and tell them why that's failing, because you're doing this. You're interfering in a matter that doesn't concern you. That name is none of your concern. Has nothing to do with you. Other than the fact you're using it, the only time it has something to do with you is when it comes time to pay a bill and they give it to you. And when someone gives it to you, you go, hold on a minute, why are you giving it to me? Who said I was the one liable for the name? Where is that stated? And even where it was stated, where the hell is the meeting of the minds? You know, because U.S. citizens will be held liable for all debts. They can't argue it. They have to accept it and pay it. That's what it says. And if you want to claim to be that name, well, then you're the 14th Amendment citizen. You're a U.S. citizen. Now shut up and do your job. But if you look at that 14th Amendment, it never states anyone born outside of the United States, even if they're subject to its jurisdiction, still aren't citizens. They're not liable. You have to agree. That's what the 13th Amendment for is, involuntary servitude. Everybody volunteers to serve. Everybody volunteers by their actions. By their actions, inactions, and expressed and implied acquiescence. Because nobody is where they is without their own doing.
They will know you by your fruits.
That's right. And if you're going to wage war against them, well, then guess what? They're going to go with the nuclear option on you.
You're outgunned, buddy.
Yep.
Paper terrorism, man. That's an act of warfare against the states.
Yep. Paper is a weapon of war. I believe Captain America said that. And yes, I use quotes from everywhere. No matter where it is, I don't care if it comes from a quarter or a comic book. It's all the same shit. It's all in the land of make-believe anyway. But paper is considered a weapon of war.
So, in a sense, what you could be saying to me is that the dilemma that I am in is really all in my mind.
Yes.
Yep.
You just have to change the way you think. That's all anybody has to do is just change the way they think. Let embrace the Armageddon. Let it all burn away, all that crap, and just change the way you think. Repent, and you shall be saved. All repent means is just change your way of thinking.
Stop the insanity. Stop doing the same shit over and over again, expecting a different result.
Yeah. I mean, all these religious zealots out there, man, have everything all just worked up in the people's minds. And, you know, you bring up this stuff, and everybody's like, well, I'm not going to do that because blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, you don't want to change the way you think. I mean, I don't know what they think repent means. I have no idea what people mean by repent. You say the word repent to people, and automatically they go, Christ, Christians, religion, this, that, and it gets a nasty taste in our mouth, and it's like, no, repent just means change the way you think.
So when you, and what you call paper as a weapon of war,
yeah,
you do everything.
Everything is verbal.
You represent, or you... Everything is verbal.
Everything is verbal.
Right. In the moment, when you're there.
Right.
When you're there.
Right.
So what means is that the reality situation is the absolute current moment in time where you are and what you say and do.
That's right.
There is no evidence that they can bring forward that they can count on.
Only what you give them, your testimony.
Only what comes out of your mouth, because it's firsthand knowledge. None of those people in that courtroom have firsthand knowledge.
Unless they're mind readers.
Yep. And even then, I have to doubt that because how can they prove they read my mind?
Yeah.
Because everybody in that room we'd all have to be interconnected with one mind. And right now, we're not. We've separated ourselves from it. Because we all believe we're separate.
Well, we're greedy.
Yep.
So we got to hide our thoughts from our brothers because we're out screwing them all the time.
That's right.
So, if you know, I guess where I'm trying to stumble over and get through is, you know, for practical processes, just as a way to operate, you know, I've got notices coming to me on a regular basis for multiple years. And I guess in order to act honorably with those notices, which I can't fall just silent on, because that sort of allows them to establish their position. I have to be responsive in some way. I'm not called down to court. I'm not at the situation now. I don't have that.
Well, you just go down, whoever's sending you, then go down to your local IRS office. Go down to your local IRS office and go, hey, man, I'm here for this matter to correct a mistake. Well, why am I, how am I liable for that name?
Yeah, given an agent firsthand knowledge. You can memorialize it on a piece of paper and read it right off to them.
Yeah.
And say, here, you need to contact me. I'll be glad to help you any way I can.
Yeah, you can write it up on a notice if you're really into the paperwork. I mean, you write it all down on a notice, go down there and read it right to them. And go, I'm gonna leave this for you so you can look it over. In case you miss something.
Just remember, in the matter of the name.
Yep.
That's all.
You're not there as a name. You're only here for that matter.
You're there to help your brother settle. He's got a problem now. There's a controversy allegedly there. Somebody's claiming a name, far as he's concerned, and it's his job to sort it out. And help him do it. Tell him the truth. Truth will set you free.
And that's the truth.
The way I see it, anyway.
That's the ultimate truth.
So really what, to me, you're instructing and informing me of is that in order to operate, to move myself beyond the position that appears that I am in, it may be of the appearance, might be my mind, you know, the lien they placed on me isn't, it interferes with my commerce.
The lien is on the name because there's a controversy there. They can't settle the matter until they figure out whether you got a true claim to the name or not.
Yeah.
So point out that, hey, in the matter of, how can I help you settle this matter? You see? And now once you point out that you don't have a claim on the name, they'll be able to zero the account.
Yep.
The lien should go away.
It may take a little while for them to do it, but they'll do it.
Or they'll threaten me with some form of judicial action or threaten me with competence as being somebody who may need to be undergo some psychological scrutiny.
Have you been listening to Boris?
I have.
Yeah, I mean, I've been, in my case, they went immediately to the incompetence route and started doing the psychiatrist. And I would take their orders. I would go down and see the psychiatrist, right. And I'd ask them, you know, what's this about? And he goes, well, I don't know. I go, well, do you have a claim? He's like, no, but I got to report back. I was like, well, if you don't have a claim, what am I doing here? I would leave. And they kept on putting them. The public defenders were resigning over what I was doing. They were leaving. I think I went through six or seven of them. I went through four or five shrinks. I never talked to any one of them. And then they finally got one at the very, very, very beginning of everything before I really knew what I was doing, who I did something that I probably shouldn't have. I filled out all the paperwork and can't make that legal determination. And they used that one to go on. I know they did because I remember speaking to them. And they went down that road. And then when they started enforcing it, that's when I started going, okay, well, how does this apply to me? And they couldn't get around it. They had people coming out here once a week, and they just couldn't do anything. I'd meet them at the door going, how can I help you? And I say, we have this. And I look at it, and I go, why don't you give it to the guy who created the liability? I mean, I went in there, I just asked the question, and I kept on it, and kept on it, and kept on it, and the judge agrees that I was told at the last meeting I had that when it came to my case, they would have my case sitting in a desk drawer somewhere, and then when it comes about a week or two before my case, they would bring it out, and they had no idea what they were going to do with it, and they would go into panic mode. And this is what I was being told by the public defender and everything. I was like, wow. You know, I didn't know it was that bad for him. And then the judge, all, you know, the forensic guy also told me, the judge said that he really also agrees that I don't need the help. I don't need to go into mental this and that. And, you know, there's all kinds of things that they were doing to protect me. And you may have to play a part as long as you don't become the part. So I had to go. I went in there the last time I went in there, was so they could save, so they could have their, you know, so I could help them save face by it not looking improprietary. So they had someone who was following an order, someone doing this, and they could do all their duties and this and that in public, put on their show, so the public didn't look like anything was wrong, so they can keep up the illusions, so that the rest of the people don't know what's going on. You know, you have to do your part. You just can't go in there and run around. I mean, you're the king, so you got to protect your servants. And in part of protecting your servants means sometimes you have to play the part of a commoner. And if I have to play the part of a commoner, they know and I know that I'm not the commoner. I'm the king. But sometimes you have to lower yourself and humble yourself to do what is necessary to settle the matter. Not everything that everybody sees is evil and mean. It's just their mind is so caught up in, hey, man, somebody's out trying to fuck me, that they fight everything. And it's not about fighting. It's about appearances. It's about illusions. It's the image. The imagination, man. We're in the imagination. It's image nation. It's the image of what's going on. It's the illusions. That's all they care about. They just have to keep the integrity of the system alive, and the system is designed for one thing, to weed out those who know from those who don't know. And those who don't know will be governed, and those who do know will not be governed.
They'll govern themselves.
Because they can govern themselves, and they know that the people who understand what's going on will not be out there raping and pillaging the countryside. Because they understand that everything is about forgiveness, and it's all been prepaid. So why would you need to go out and rape and pillage the countryside when you can get anything you want or need whenever it is you need it?
Well,
they don't have to worry about
you, that's for sure.
Yeah. They wouldn't have to worry about you. It's those people who don't know what's going on that they worry about.
The paper terrorists.
Yeah. People out there, people out there just don't know, don't understand, don't see, and no matter how much you try to explain it to them, they just don't care. It's basically, I think a lot of, they just don't care.
Well, they've been wronged, and they want vengeance.
Yeah.
I mean.
And now they see it. Now they're like, well, now they got an enemy, and their mind created an enemy for them that's external, so they don't have to look internally and see how ugly they are. You know, in this country, man, we have a huge problem with internal ugliness. Actually, in a lot of the world, there's a problem with internal ugliness. And no matter how much Botox people inject into their fucking face, no much silicone they stuff themselves with, will ever fix the fact that they hate themselves when they look in the mirror. And you know, truthfully, I think that's what did Michael in Jackson. He was trying to change his outward appearance so he'd feel right on the inside, because something was happening on behind the scenes. He did not like what he saw on the inside, so he decided to change the outside to see if that would fix it, and it did. Now, a lot of women go through that too.
Yeah.
And a lot of men are starting to go through that too themselves. They're all confused and lost because when they look in that mirror, they hate what they see. That's why they lash out. That's why they lash out at their spouses. That's why they go beat their children. Because when they look in that mirror, they don't like what they see. And so they manifest enemies on the outside to protect them on the inside. And it's their egos that are doing it to them. And they don't see it. They can't see it because their ego says, well, this is your enemy. This is what's causing it. You know, something else other than themselves. Anything other than yourself. I mean, as long as once you come to the realization and accept the fact that you are the problem, man, the love you feel for yourself will increase exponentially. And when it starts increasing exponentially inside of you, it starts increasing exponentially outside of you with your relations with other people.
You get what you put out.
That's right. Then it all starts with you. You're the energy. And it's either positive or negative. You want negative energy inside of you, then get ready for negative energy outside. But if you fill yourself with light and love, then there's no way in hell, there's no possible way it can ever return in any other form than light and love. It's impossible. Love will never return hate. Only hate returns hate. It's a law of attraction. Yeah, but that's why we have the problems we have, man. People hate themselves. That's why people do drugs. That's why they do cocaine. That's why they do heroin. That's why they do, I mean, that's why they're out, you know, hitting everybody, getting into fights, doing that. I mean, it's just that. And then they look in the mirror, but they don't see the problem. They only see manifestations of the external. Everything else is the problem. And they're lashing out. That's what a child does. He lashes out when he doesn't realize that he's his problem. I see it every day over at my buddy's house with his kid. His kid is just, you know, a spoiler, right? He doesn't look inside himself. He thinks everybody else is out to get him. He doesn't see that he's his own worst enemy. I mean, I was over there one day when he was out and he had violated curfew, and his response to it was like, well, since I'm already in trouble, I may as well just stay out. So he just exponentially created a new problem because of his anger towards himself. Now, and you see it everywhere. All you have to do is get beyond your own problem of not seeing that you're the problem, and you're also the solution. You're not only you're the Alpha and the Omega. I mean, you're God of your own life. That's the biggest secret of the Bible. God is not external; He's internal. And then once you start getting it internalized, then your external actions become the message. And it's not the problem with a lot of people is they want to worship the messenger. And I'm like, that's why you're not supposed to have a name. That's why you're not supposed to use that name as personal identification, because it's deification and false idol worship of you. Well, I mean, you can look at the Christians, man. The Christians are all screwed. Them people are so far away from the teachings of Christ, it's unbelievable. And I'm still trying to figure out how they even participate in a society that condones murder. Either through abortion or death penalties. Or war. Incessant war. I mean, people go out and volunteer for that shit. War would never be fought if nobody ever volunteered. A gun does not shoot itself. You know, it requires some external force on it, and you're the external force.
What do you fundamentally believe about?
Can't hear you.
Who you are.
I can't hear you.
Yeah. Get away from the
what
mic.
What do you fundamentally? Yeah, I'm here.
Right.
Maybe I got too far away. I am fine what you're saying, and I'm not in disagreement with you at all.
Okay.
I believe that when you talk about Christianity, I don't have. I have problems with Christianity because of the nature of the way, people actually act.
Right.
What they do and what they're saying, I guess, or thinking don't line up. But maybe I'm one of those people. Is there a fundamental, belief set that you have that... are you like you said that, you know, that the whole, I mean, how do you, in a sense, when you're living, are you just living being that will be here or will be gone? There's no afterlife? No.
Nah, man, dude, you know, the body's a mere vessel for the soul. You're just experiencing this dimensional life. When this body decays and decomposes and dies and ceases to function, the spirit within inside of it doesn't die. I'll go on elsewhere. I don't know where I'm going to go after that, but whatever it is, the body itself will release the spirit, and then they're free to go on to experience the next thing. You're just here to experience it.
So,
you're not here to become part of it. You're just here to experience it. You know, if you've seen Star Trek, you've seen Star Trek, right? The show, The Next Generation, stuff like that. You've seen the holodecks, where they have these rooms they go into for holographic things. That's what we are. We're living in a holodeck. You're not part of it. You're just in it. You need to experience it. You know, I guess they can call it the holographic universe or whatever they want to do with it, but basically that's what you are. You're just in this world to experience it. Not to become part of it. You're not supposed to interfere with the way it goes on, because then you'll become part of it and then all the safety parameters are removed. Because even in that world, holographic bullets can kill if the safeties are off.
So we're all just part of one big, huge energy process?
I don't know about that. I don't know that much. All I know is I'm part of something else. Because I'm not whole on myself.
Yeah, resistance is futile.
Oh, I guess maybe.
Yeah. I don't know the whole. I don't know everything. If I knew everything, I would be God. And I'm not him, or her, or whatever it is. I'm only a part of it, and I'm just here experiencing the creation.
Yeah.
In other words, living the dream. No, and I'm sure that whatever was designed for the people, or you know, whatever was designed, you know, it's just, you're just experiencing it. You're not part of it. Can't hurt you. You can only believe it hurt you. No,
what would be the purpose?
Of what?
Of your life.
Education.
Yeah. It's the only thing I can take with me. Whatever experiences I go through is the only thing that's going to come with me, are my experiences.
The choices we make.
Yep.
Shows others the fruits.
Yep.
What side we're on, or, you know.
Well, do you like, in a sense, if the words are correct, and we understand them the same, do you fear God?
Why do I fear him? He's a teacher.
Well, then you respect God?
Sure. He's all around you. He's within you. He's without you. You are part of him. Why do you fear what you're part of? I mean, I've never understood the God-fearing thing, but, you know, hey, you know, if you want to fear God, you go ahead and you fear him all on your own, man. I embrace him. I embrace creation. Because if it wasn't for creation, I sure as shit wouldn't be here. You know, and I've come to like being here. I've come to like...
Well, I agree with that, and there's some fundamental maybe beliefs that I have that are not the same as yours, that in trying to, and maybe it's senseless reasoning, but I don't claim to have any kind of real understanding, but there are some confrontations in history, as I understand it. You know, for instance, like, who was Jesus, and what was he doing here?
Okay, I'm gonna kind of answer that right now. Is the reason there's confrontations over that is because people worship the messenger and don't live the message. They turned him into an idol. And they worship them. And in doing so, you fail to live the message he was here preaching, or he was here prophesizing, or spreading around. Same thing with Muhammad. Same thing with Buddha, and Hindu, and Vishnu, and whatever Japanese gods there are, and whatever Egyptian gods there are, and all that stuff. They're not living the message. They're worshiping the messenger.
It's like the story about Moses. Allegedly, Moses was taken away so they wouldn't idolize him.
Right. You know, even Judaism does it. They worship Moses. All these religions are guilty of it. They're idol worshippers. They don't want to live the they don't live the message. They worship the messenger. And that's not what he was here for. He was here to deliver a message, not be worshipped as some, you know, deity or prophet or nothing like that. He spoke in parables. The Bible is written in parables, so only the righteous would understand. Everybody else is going to war because somebody called their god, their deity, their idol, threw an egg at him, put egg on his face. That's what they're doing right now in the Middle East. That's what the Crusades were. Our God is better than your God. You know, Jesus is the Savior. No, Muhammad's the Savior. No, this guy's the Savior. No, this one's the Savior. Well, fuck you. No, fuck you. Bang, 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 bang. And suddenly everybody blows each other up. That's how it escalates. They worship the messenger and idolize them and put them on this huge pedestal, but they forget the message. It's hypocrisy. You know, and however many millions of people out there are doing it are all living the delusions.
I will send them strong delusions because they have not a love of the truth.
That's right.
So, and there's no division in the body. So why do we got all these Democrats, Republicans, Protestants, Buddhists?
Yep.
There's no division in the body. So why lay claim to a name of a group?
Yep.
That's division. You're in dishonor.
Right. And Buddha may have taught this, but there's no need to worship Buddha. You don't pray before Buddha.
And if you find, you do any research on all the different religions, you're going to find they have one common thread. Treat others as you want to be treated.
Yep.
So what's the problem?
Yep. Every single one of them have the same message. They're all the same. It's just the people have divided it up, and so now they fractionalized it. They took the crystal chalice, threw it on the ground, and worshipped the splinters. While they failed to drink the contents. You know, I equated it as, if you find a message in a bottle, do you marvel at the bottle?
Well, that would probably be where my fundamental mindset is more, I guess, accustomed to, do you pray?
Do I pray? I thank.
Yeah.
I thank creation for giving me what I have and embrace it and acknowledge my faults and hope that I may fix them or overcome them. Because I know that it's all intelligently designed, and then everything evolves to adapt and overcome all obstacles thrown in their path. That's the only place evolution comes in, is the living of the intelligent design is created, and then from there on out, it evolves to adapt and overcome all obstacles thrown in its path. I don't get into the whole
religious
debate.
So would you say that? Yeah, and I'm not really interested in that. I'm trying to clarify it
okay. For
me, I guess, because I'm trying to understand your thinking.
Okay.
Because would that mean that you think maybe is it a possible that you think that you are actually a part of God?
Everything is.
It's all good,
I believe there's an ultimate creator. So I guess if you have to put it in a context, what is it, that word deist? Means one God? Is that what it is, Batman? The deist?
Well, it's in a sense, it's one creation. We're all part of it, whether we like it or not. We're all brothers and sisters. We're all part. Some people believe that everything that exists is living. Even a rock is a living thing.
Yeah.
You see? Everything is in motion, and we're all part of it.
Yep.
The molecules in the rock vibrate. I mean, even like it said in the scriptures, the truth, even the rocks would scream out the truth if Christ didn't come and supposedly say it.
Yep.
The truth is all around us. It's part of us. We don't listen to the little voice, our hearts. And we let the ego, our minds, the logic part, like Spock, you know. We go by the logic instead of the little voice in our hearts telling us the right things. And that's why we get in trouble.
Yeah.
Oh, you, in a sense, you draw a line.
What?
Which is, you know, in a sense, aren't you, you're drawing a line of some kind.
Well, either you're
delineates between one side
No, not really a line.
We're eliminating the lines by saying there is no division in the body. We're all part of the whole. Look at the planet from the shuttlecraft pictures. There's no borders. There's no boundaries. The only boundaries are in man's imagination. There is no United States. There is no America unless you believe there is. I live in the state of Batman. Good. Try and get jurisdiction over that.
Yeah, there's no such thing as an illegal alien.
Yeah, we're all on this planet together, man.
That's just a division to keep one group away from another group.
If you studied the Old Testament, the reason why nations fell is because how they treated the soldiers, the people immigrating into the country. This country's going down if it keeps treating the so-called illegals the way it's treating them.
Yep.
They will rule you. No, you love them and invite them.
And he will send hordes of barbarians upon you.
You love them and treat them with open arms and stay in honor with these people. You're not going to have problems with these people. They'll change.
Yeah.
But you get what you put out. Look at these people yelling and screaming. They're over here taking our stuff. They're taking our Social Security. They're taking
our jobs.
Yeah.
They did their job.
You know, yeah.
I love that South Park episode, man.
Yeah. You don't own anything in the first place, so what are you bitching about?
Yeah.
Jeez,
why are you excluding others from what you want from your area? You know, nobody ever said that anybody was excluded. We're all included. We're all part of it. How can you exclude that? I mean, you're out there trying to create your own little compartmentalization inside of creation, and, you know... Eventually, it's going to reject it, and then it's going to shave the head, which is, you know, basically like Britney Spears. She's going to shave her head when you can't handle it no more, and that's what's going on now. Is right now the Earth's getting ready to shake its back off and go, oh man, what are these guys doing to me? Shake us off like a bad case of fleas. You know, if we don't stop doing what we're doing, I mean, we're out there. Rape, pillaging, and plundering each other. We're rape, pillaging, and plundering creation. I mean, for what? Greedy desires? That's not what we're here for. We're here to experience it and enjoy it. I mean, creation made a very beautiful planet. Why do we need to divvy it up? It's like this one article I read the other day. They're fighting over the Nile River now. Is Egypt and all those countries that border the Nile River all fighting over it? Over who owns it? I'm like, nobody. And you know, the only thing I can say is, why claim ownership? The only reason you would claim ownership is to try to obtain leverage over someone else to make them bow before you.
Yeah, why buy the cow when you get the milk for free?
Yeah. The Nile's just the Nile, man. It gets there. It's just there. It exists. It exists for everybody to use. Just because you live on a river doesn't mean you get to exclude others from it. I tried to explain this to guys at work when they went on a river rafting thing. And they said, we can't get to the river. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, these guys build houses there. I'm like, so? He goes, well, they'll shoot you if you try and cross their property and get the river. I was like, who entitled them to do that to prevent you from using one of nature's resources?
Rivers are right away, man. Nobody's got any right to stop you from going to them.
Yeah, I don't care how much land they put up there. I don't care how much. I don't care what they do. You have a right to access the river at any point along the river. They have no right to do that. And I tried to explain that to these guys at work. I asked them questions. They're like, "Well, they'll shoot me if I do this." So I go, consented that they have the right to deny you access.
Will they?
Well, that's what they kept on saying. I just informed them that in your thinking, you just consented that they have the right to deny you use of one of nature's resources.
They're already defeated before they attempted it.
That's right, because they've already thought that, well, this bad thing is going to happen if I do it. Well, you don't know that. You know, and I understand what they're saying, because I've been to... What's that?
Well, two people can't inhabit the same space physically. So some of that division comes from because
that's true. But how can you inhabit the whole of the land? I can only inhabit where I stand.
Well, you, correct.
So if I'm standing
really
at
all
one
you're
spot,
saying,
I go through another spot. If I'm standing at one spot and someone goes to another spot, how can I inhabit that spot that they're going through when I'm already inhabiting one other spot?
Unless you bump into each other.
Okay.
You're both trying to inhabit the same spot.
That's where the
that's
golden
where,
rule.
That's where the
yeah,
conflict.
That's where the forgiveness comes in.
That's where the golden rule comes in.
Yeah.
Have it spot, man. There's plenty of room over there. No problem.
Yeah, if you really need that spot, I'll go over here and stand in that spot. You know, that's what forgiveness.
Well, that would be the practical.
Right, but forgiveness is a weapon for which there is no defense. Nobody can defend against forgiveness because there's nothing to defend.
You ever watch The Peaceful Warrior?
That's a good one.
I don't think so.
You get a chance. It's a movie. Nick Nolte's
I don't think
in
so.
It. Nick Nolte's in it. Peaceful Warrior.
It's a really good movie.
I don't think I've ever watched it.
I think you'd enjoy it.
So I will.
Might open a... Open up your eyes a little more, you know?
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, there's no need to stop people from doing... I mean, everybody out there who denies you something because you don't show proper this or proper that, what are they really doing? They're cordoning you off from experiencing that which creation made. And who they have the right to
yeah,
do
Yeah, so everybody's arguing over...